May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 217. 217. Let Zion in her songs record the honours of her dying Lord. Triumphant over sin, how sweet the song. There's none can say, but he whose sins are washed away, who feels the same within. Hymn 217.
Thank you.
Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, how we need thee now to teach us how to pray and what to pray for as we ought. We come before thee, dear Lord, exactly as we are. One said, Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless come to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Thou knowest, dear Lord, those of us this evening that need continually that washing and cleansing from all our many, many sins. Oh, we pray that thou wilt so come this night and seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul. May we be given, Lord, that grace to bow before thee, humbly confessing our vileness, our sin, our unbelief, begging and pleading for mercy, and pleading for that real heart repentance to be given to us that needeth not to be repented of. And oh, that thou wouldst apply thy precious blood, that blood that doth for sin atone, that blood that cleanseth the blackest and vilest of sinners of all sin. Oh, may we be favoured, Lord, each of us to know our pardon signed, our peace with God. And, oh Lord, as we gather at this evening hour, we would pray as we have read in thy word what those two that journeyed to Emmaus said, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Oh, may we be favoured like they were, for thou didst go in and abide with them. May our hearts be truly softened, Lord. May we be humbled in the dust and be ever at thy dear feet, and that we may ever be as nothing and a precious Jesus, the all and in all to us. And oh, may we know more and more of thy preciousness, thy suitability, and may a precious Jesus be to us the one thing that is needful, the altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. And, O Lord, Lord, who come and suit thyself to every sinner's case this night, and may those that are burdened and heavy laden be helped to cast all their burdens upon thee, to trust thee where they cannot trace them. And we pray that thou wilt give us grace, Lord, to endure to the end, to hold on our way, and how we need those fresh supplies of grace to be given to us. And may grace abound in us, Lord. We know so much of the aboundings of sin, but oh, may grace abound over it all. And oh, may those that feel weak and helpless, Lord, draw from that blessed strength that there is in thee, that thou wilt be their strength, their portion, their all. May they prove hourly thy help. For, Lord, without thee we can do nothing. And thou knowest, Lord, how to help thy dear people. And may we prove what we sing in the hymn, Lord, when most we need thy helping hand. This friend is always near, with heaven and earth at his command. He waits to answer prayer. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt send those answers down to the cries and groans and sighs and prayers of thy dear people. And there may be those times of sweet rejoicing and praising thy holy name, and thy people brought into a wealthy place in their souls. And Lord, do remember those that walk the path of affliction. We pray that thou wilt uphold them, strengthen them, and be with them in this affliction they walk through, Lord. And may it please thee to so bless them in it all and sanctify it to them, that they may be able to say, it is good that I have been afflicted. O Lord, do grant restoring mercies if it's thy holy will. May they prove, and may we each, Lord, 'tis he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again. Do bless the dear children, Lord, and remember them with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people. Visit them and visit us with thy salvation. We hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. We pray that thou wilt keep the young in these evil, solemn days, Lord. May they be given an aching void which this world can never fill, a real hunger and thirst for the truth, as it is in Jesus. Lord, we pray that thou wilt raise up from among them those that shall be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. And Lord, may there be many that are graciously established in the truth as it is in Jesus. And, O Lord, be found upon that blessed rock, the eternal rock, the Lord Jesus himself. And may the foundation, Lord, may we have a good foundation to our religion. Thou wilt be the author and the finisher of it. Lord, do remember all in trial and trouble and distress, Lord, and many things to weigh thy dear people down. We do pray that thou would undertake for each one, for thou knowest each saint's peculiar case. Who hold us up and hold us on, dear Lord. And hold up thy people that feel to be sinking. And may they be enabled to fall, and may we each, into thy everlasting arms. As the poet said, when thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. Nor do remember, Lord, any that have got special need at this time, and those that may be exercised in following thee and keeping thy commandments. Oh, do bring those exercises to fruition in thy time. And do fill thy dear people with thy love, that they might run in thy delightful way. For thou hast said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And thou didst further say, dear Lord, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, may thy constraining love constrain others here and in our own flock at home to take up their cross, to follow thee, and to be as obedient children. Lord, do remember those who've got hard cases and impossible things. May their faith be strengthened to believe that those things that are impossible with men are possible with thee, and that there is nothing too hard for them. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and grant to us continually thy sweet and sacred presence as we venture on in the journey. Leave us not, one says, to walk alone. But oh, may we know and feel thy sweet presence even this evening, and our hearts be melted. Who bless the deacons here and remember them, Lord, in all their need. And we thank thee for restoring and strengthening thus far our dear brother. And we pray that thou wilt go on to be gracious to him. Thou hast helped him through many things over the years, Lord, to wade through. And may sweetly prove still that thou alone art all sufficient to him, and that his sufficiency is of thee. And do bless his brother deacon too, and help them in the choice of the hymns, and May there be those times, dear Lord, of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And, O Lord, remember those in old age and weakness. May they sweetly prove thy sweet promise that at evening time it shall be light. Prepare us each for a vast eternity. Oh, do give us that sweet assurance, Lord, that it'll be well while life endure, and well when called to die. Oh, Lord, do remember any that feel to be at the ends of the earth. Do help them to look unto thee, for thou hast said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Who help thy dear servants as they labour, and those that labour this evening, Lord, and those that have laboured in the former part of the day. And oh, may thy word through them be crowned with success, and may there be that real fruit to follow. For thou hast said, by me is thy fruit found. Oh, do bless Zion at large, and our own flock, and thy dear people here. And bring in those that as yet know thee not. And may there be, dear Lord, a gracious reviving in the churches. Many are brought low, but Lord, thou canst build them up, if it be thy holy will. And oh, do appear in the nation, and we beg of thee to work in our king and royal household, in our prime minister and those in government, Lord, and cause them to turn to thee and to forsake all evil. And oh, do appear in the affairs of this nation. Leave us not, Lord, to further depart from thee. But oh, may there be a turning to the Lord, and fearing of his holy name. May there be those in the House of Commons, Lord, and in the Lord's Church, that shall stand for right things. Lord, the power's thine. And may it please thee to cause the wars to cease in the Middle East and in Ukraine, Lord, and where persecution prevails. We pray that the enemies of the truth may all be put down, and that there may be a time of real blessing throughout the nations of the earth. Remember all we would and should pray for. Lord, do grant to us a truly thankful heart for all thy many, many mercies. We would crown thee, Lord of all, and help us to praise thy holy name. Dear Lord, do remember us as we turn to thy holy word. Do touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Forgive what we've uttered amiss, make up where we so fail, and help us to love and praise thee more. We ask these poor breathings in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 1012. 1012. Himself he cannot save, insulting foe 'tis true, that words a gracious meaning have, though meant in scorn by you. Hymn 1012.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 23. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 23. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 23. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. Really, this 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy was a wonderful continuance from the book of Genesis 29, where we find dear father Israel blessing the 12 sons that he had, and here Moses was to bless the 12 tribes of Israel. And they each did it as they came to the close of their journey here below. And we often used to find in days past there were many gracious characters that left a special blessing for each of their children. And may the Lord so work in this dark and solemn day that there may be a continuance of it. Now this 23rd verse seemed to so rest upon me, just as what we had this morning concerning Judah, the blessing of Judah. And he says of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. As Moses looked at the tribe of Naphtali, he could see how wonderfully they'd been favoured and were a favoured people, with the things of providence, but far greater than that, the great things of grace. And in our text, there is some wonderful experiences, really. But let us begin by looking in our own hearts, each of us. Do we know what it is to be satisfied with favour? Do we know what it is to be full with the blessing of the Lord? Well, let me come low. Do you desire to, poor soul? You see, others may be blessed and you will say in your heart, Lord, but do give me the same blessing. You long for it. Well, as help, let us look a little into it. O Naphtali, satisfied with favour. You may have wondered why we read together that beautiful chapter in Luke's Gospel of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. Well, they were favoured abundantly with the sweet and sacred presence of the dear Lord Jesus with them. As we read in that lesson. And what a experience it was, wasn't it? Because when they started the journey, they were full of sorrow and distress, because their dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, had been taken from them and crucified and laid in the tomb. They felt everything was gone. It's a painful place, that is, when we feel everything is gone. The hopes we may have had in days past, the blessings that you may have received, and now everything seems at a low ebb. Well, they weren't to be left in that, were they? The Lord was to arise from the tomb, the dear Redeemer, and to go with them. And they were to know and to feel the sacred presence of the Saviour with them. He says here, satisfied with favour. And what a favour it was, wasn't it? But let us bring it right home to you and me, that we know what it is to be favoured, to feel and to know the sweet presence of the dear Redeemer with us. Or do you long for it? Well, as they journeyed, he went with them. He knew just how they felt. He knew all the sorrows they were in. He knows yours. He knows the things that burden you and concern you. But if he's with you, poor soul, as we looked at a little this morning, he will undertake for you and he'll favour you in some of those things that you may be wading through that seem to be so against you. And yet they're all for your soul's profit and teaching and for the honour and glory of his precious name. You know, it's a wonderful favour to have the presence of the Lord Jesus with us. What does the hymn writer say? In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I'm secure. In thy presence all afflictions we can easily endure. Sacred language that is, isn't it? And those two were to journeyed were to sweetly experience it, and they were to know what it was for to be favoured with his presence, and for him to turn that sorrow they were in into joy. And when he revealed himself to them, when they got to Emmaus, what did they say about the journey? You know, I love those words, what they said, and what a favour it was to feel it and to know it. And may we each be favoured to know what they did, because they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he unfolded to us the scriptures? Do you know what it is when the Lord favours you and your heart burns within you? And what does it burn with? In love to the dear Saviour. In love for all that he had accomplished at Calvary. In love that what he's done for your soul. And you feel so favoured by it. And not only were they to be favoured with his sweet presence, but they were to know too what it was for him to speak to them. Well, poor soul, this evening, do you long for the Lord to speak to you? What a favour when he does. You see, David prayed, didn't he, earnestly in the Psalms, be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. And what will satisfy you? Well, when he does speak, when he does come where you are, what does the hymn writer say? When Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. Satisfied with favour. And then what a favour it is when the Lord is pleased to sweetly whisper to a sin-sick sinner, "Thy sins that are many are all forgiven." A favour that the world will never know anything of, the ungodly will know nothing of. But the child of God will be favoured with it. And what is that? It's the passport for heaven. The sweet pardon of all our sin. And then, oh, to be favoured with a token from the Lord. It may be he speaks a word to you of heavenly token that you will never forget. Think of that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah, and may the Lord favour us each with it. When he said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." Well, you may say, "What, such a wretched character as I? I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." And now, you know, if the Lord whispers that to you, your soul will be satisfied. What did David say in the psalm? "Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people." And how many times has your heart prayed that? "Lord, do remember me with the favour that thou bearest to thy dear people." You want to be favoured like they are, with his presence, hear his voice, with that sweet pardon of all your sin, with the sweet assurance that he suffered, bled and died for you. "Each shall say for me." So he says here, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour. Oh, to be satisfied with the favours the Lord gives to his dear people. The hymn writer said, didn't he? Favour, astonishing, divine. When was the last time the Lord favoured you in this house of prayer? You think of it. The Lord knows. And your poor heart knows. He favoured you with a token of his everlasting love. Think of that beautiful word, what the Lord spoke to dear Jeremiah. What a favour it was to receive it, wasn't it? "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And oh, to be favoured to know and to feel and to taste that love. When the nurses and doctors came to wheel me down for the operation back in March, you know, all I felt was I could fall into the Lord's arms. And the Lord sweetly whispered this to me as they wheeled me down to the theatre. What is recorded here: "Eternal God is thy refuge and underneath." And this is what was so sweet to me. "And underneath are the everlasting arms." And you see, those everlasting arms, poor soul, if they're under you, whatever trouble you may be in tonight, whatever distress, or whether you're in the text, favoured with the Lord's divine favour. If underneath are those everlasting arms, they will never fail you, because they're everlasting. and there hold you up when you feel to be sinking. What does the hymn writer say? Ever sinking, yet to swim. And all to be found, you see, held up by those everlasting arms. And you know, all I could pray was, as I said this morning, O Lord, undertake for me. And the other prayer that was so with me was this: Thy will be done. I felt whatever came of it, if he was pleased to free me from this earth or to bring me through, it would be well. And that's a sacred place. You know what it is then to be satisfied. And all I could feel, sweet satisfaction. It was not just in the hands of the surgeons or the doctors. It was all in the hands of the eternal God. His everlasting arm. His shoulders, we read, held up heaven and earth while Mary held up him. Satisfied with favour. What did the psalmist say? I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. And you know, really, there'll be times where you'll feel satisfied in a sacred measure here with the blessing of the Lord and his favour upon you, but you won't be really satisfied until you're with Christ at home in glory. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. So he says here, satisfied with favour. Well, think another blessed favour is to feel his love in our poor hearts. What does the poet say? Kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. And oh, may the Lord so favour you to feel that love to the dear Redeemer, to the Blessed Trinity. Because when the Lord favours you with it, you want to rest in it, don't you? You want to feel it more and more. And you'll say to the Lord, Lord, do not withdraw that love. We read in the Song of Solomon, the spouse, where the Lord hid his face from her and she walked in the winter. You won't always feel it, child of God, but if you have a taste of it, the old preachers used to say, if we've ever had a taste of the love of Christ in our souls, we shall never sink into hell. It's impossible. The mark of that celestial seal shall never be erased. And you look at the precious characters in the Word of God. We think of the dear woman that went into the house of Simon the Pharisee. She went in as a poor, needy sinner, creeping behind the Saviour, feeling so unworthy to come to his feet. And what did she do? She washes his feet with her tears and wipes them with the hairs of her head. Love flowed out her soul to this her dear Redeemer. Why did it flow forth? Because he had so loved her. We cannot love him except he first love us. And love, you know, she was given to him. And he manifested his love to her, didn't he? And what did he say to her? Thy sins that are many, all forgiven. And you know it was a sacred spot he was. You know, when the Lord brings us into these seasons and favours us, we shall be not only satisfied, but we shall know what it is to rest in his arms. And that's a sacred place. And you'll want to abide there, won't you? Like the spouse did. Oh, she wanted to be with him continually because everything she needed was in her precious Redeemer. Satisfied with favour. And there are times, just to name the type of things of providence, it's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord so appears maybe in your pathway and supplies your need, you know, and you feel overwhelmed by the Lord's favour toward you. I remember when I was at Ashwell in my early days as pastor, things were very tight by in the house and the children were small and it was difficult to get along, and the bills kept coming in, the electric and others, the council tax and so on. I thought, whatever shall we do? And all I could do was spread it all before the Lord. I didn't tell anybody what we're in. It was just my wife and I knew. And within a few days, I had an envelope come in those days through the post, in the days when we had the old pound notes, and in it was £500 in pound notes. And I don't know to this day who sent it, but all I could do was praise the dear Lord, and you know, I wept over it. You see, when the Lord's people have need, his goodness will find out a way. And over the years, the Lord has wonderfully favoured us in times of great need when he supplied that need. And he satisfied us. And he's favoured us in our souls. In it. You think how dear Elijah must have felt when at the brook Cherith, there was the water for him to drink of. But what was he to feed on? The Lord sent the ravens to feed him, didn't he? And that time, you know, of favour, the dear man would never forget. And the favour in our souls. Well, I must hasten. So he says here, satisfied with favour. And it may be you're praying for the Lord to direct you in maybe a step in providence, or it may be regarding following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. And the Lord speaks a precious word to you of heavenly direction, what to do. And nothing but that word from the Lord will satisfy you. And when he does speak it, whatever it may be, you'll know what it is for your soul to be satisfied. Oh, you will. I remember when I ventured to follow the Lord back in 1963. I'd been to see the dear deacon about it, and I've told you before how the Lord spoke to me on that Saturday regarding bringing the cows in to milk them, and he spoke to me clear as I stand here this evening, "See, here is water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized?" And you know, that word so arrested me. And it was just what my soul needed. And I went back to the farm and picked the Bible up and opened it. Lord, do confirm it. And I opened on that first chapter in in the Acts of the Apostles, what the Lord said concerning John. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized by the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And you know, my soul was satisfied, and I went to see the dear deacon that night. And when I knocked on the door, he said, I'm pleased to see you. I've been waiting for you all day. And you know, it really encouraged me. You see, the Lord doesn't work by halves. He'll work in the church. He will work in individuals and constrain them. But what I was going to say was, after I'd ventured to see the dear deacon, the devil got at me. And he tempted me sorely. Oh, what have you done? You'll never be able to walk this out. And I went to Cranbrook Chapel to hear the late Mr. Mulvey preach, and he was a type of minister that very seldom mentioned baptism. Some mention it a lot. But I begged of the Lord that he would confirm to me and satisfy me that I was right in what I was mentioning. And his text was in concerning the baptism of the dear Lord Jesus in Matthew 3. And it was a most wonderful season. I should never forget it. His text was verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know, I sat there, and the dear man, as he preached me right into the water. I should never forget it. My soul was satisfied, and only the Lord can do it. And he's promised to satisfy his dear people. Oh, Naphtali, satisfied with favour. But then he goes further, and full with the blessing of the Lord. And you know, it's exactly how I felt, full with the blessing of the Lord. It's a blessed place when you feel full, you know. And I, going back to the operation, you know, the Lord wonderfully favoured me in that hospital to have a little view by faith of the dear Saviour suffering in my room, place and stead. I lay in that bed melted by the favour of the Lord and the blessing that I was under. And the sweetness of it, you know, just filled the ward, really, as far as I was concerned. I was just full. And that's a blessed place, you know. The Lord empties his people, but he fills them. And when he fills you with his love, what will be the effect of it? You'll just be melted in the dust, poor soul. Humbled at his dear feet, full of the blessing of the Lord. In thinking upon the text today, my mind went to the dear mother of the dear Lord Jesus, when she went and saw Elizabeth, and of course Elizabeth was full of the blessing of the Lord. The Lord had wonderfully told her she would bring forth John the Baptist, the glorious forerunner of the dear Redeemer. And when Mary spoke to Elizabeth concerning what the angel had told her, we read this, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." But then going down to dear Mary, we find this, how Elizabeth spoke to her. And she said this, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then we read this concerning dear Mary. "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." She was just full. And those two dear godly women knew what it was to be full because of the blessing the Lord had given them and the glorious coming of the dear Redeemer. And then you think how the Lord had dealt with Zacharias and caused dumbness to come upon him because he wouldn't believe what the angel had said. And then how the Lord wonderfully fulfilled it, and John was born, and his name was to be called John. And what do we read concerning Zacharias? "And Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." They knew what it was, those three precious characters, to be full with the blessing of the Lord. And just stepping back to what I named this morning about Ruth being brought among his dear people. You see, we name that, but you know, since I left it, I should have probably said this morning, but I'll say it this evening. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord brings his dear children into the church, bring him unto his people, to be one with them. It says here, doesn't it, in our text, full of the blessing of the Lord. You look at dear Ruth, how she was full of the blessing of the Lord. That's why she could go with Naomi. The Lord was so with her and favoured her. So different than Orpah, wasn't it? But Ruth was full. And may the Lord favour my soul's desire as we venture with this evening, that we might each be filled with the blessing of the Lord. You can read in some of the old books of the experiences of God's dear people where they used to go home from the house of God absolutely full. Oh, they did. Full of the blessing of the Lord. But let me come low. Do we desire that we might be brought there? How many in this dark and solemn day really desire to be full with the blessing of the Lord? Well, as I name concerning my affliction, the Lord brings us into such places, you see, to bless us in them. And the blessing you'll never forget. And that's what makes the bitter sweet, The rough place is plain, the darkness light. And the soul is full of the blessings of the Lord. So he says here, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, blessed with his glorious righteousness. Faith puts it on. Blessed with living faith to believe. Blessed with the faith to rest wholly on the dear Redeemer. And blessed with that faith that reaches out after him and that would embrace him. But then he says, and it's an interesting word really, this is, possess thou the west and the south. Now this is what the Lord had instructed Moses to say to them, that they, those places they got to possess, were in the west and they were in the south. And the Lord was to place them there, and in it they were to be blessed there. And you know, if the Lord has placed you like in the cause at Southery or wherever it may be, if he places you there, he will grant the blessing. He'll grant the heavenly seal to it. If he places you in the church, he'll grant the blessing. He'll place you there. And the powers of the devil will never remove you. He will try. Don't think you're going to go through without the opposition of Satan. But you see, there'll be the blessing in it. Possess thou the west and the south. Now that word has often interested me, because I think it was back in 1946, I stand to be corrected on that, but if I remember rightly, in the church book of the Dicker, there's a dear soul, well, some of you remembered her, that from Wiltshire will remember her, Mrs. Frieda Tugwell. She was only a young lady when, I think if I remember rightly, she was about 17 or something about that age when she joined the church. And the Lord wonderfully blessed her, and she came, and the church unanimously received her. And when Mr. Tyler baptized her, he gave her this word we have as a text this evening. O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord. That's just how she was. Full of the blessing of the Lord. You know, he can bless a soul that's even younger than that with the blessing of the Lord. Fill them. I remember, if I remember rightly, reading about Mr. Littleton, that used to be pastor at Crowber before Mr. Stanley Dells. He was pastor for over 50 years. And he had a girl of 10 years old came to see him. She said, Mr. Littleton, the Lord has so favoured me and filled me with his love, with his goodness, with his mercy. All I want to do is to follow my dear Redeemer. She said, all my hope is in, and all my salvation is in a precious Jesus. And she was only 10. Mr. Littleton, of course, was quite concerned about her age, but she said, Mr. Littleton, I don't want to go to church meetings or anything like that. All I want to do is follow my dear Redeemer. Well, she ventured, and the Lord wonderfully brought her into the church, and But he never forgot how she came, you see. She came full of the love of Christ, under the blessing of heaven. But going back to dear Mrs. Tugwell, you know that Mr. Tyler gave her this word: "Known after lie satisfied with favour and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south." When the fullness of God's time, she was to marry Mr. Tugwell, who was deacon at Swindon. And she remained there right to the end of her life. But she used to come to the Dicker for first Sundays every little while. Still a member. Many people said, and they've even said it to me, we cannot understand why she didn't transfer her membership down there. And that dear godly lady, she said to me, "I can tell anybody that likes to question me on it, why?" She said, "The Lord told me, possess thou the west," that's where she lived, "and the south." She said, "I went lived down there in the west country. I'm a member in the south." You know, she never forgot it. The Lord so applied it to her. And all those years, she lived to be over 90. You see, it was a wonderful word, really. Really, Mr. Tyler was a prophet in giving it to her. It was a message of heaven. And she walked it out, you see. Men have many opinions on things. But you see, opinions only gender strife and gall a tender mind. She did what the Lord commanded her and possessed the west and the south. Now, I use that as a simple illustration. You see, here this beautiful word really was spoken to the tribes. We know that was where they got to dwell. But, you know, think about it spiritually. Oh, to be under the things that are set forth in this text, and I'll leave it for your prayerful meditation, but satisfied. It's my soul's desire that we might each be brought into the reality and sacredness of this. Oh, after lie satisfied. With favour. May the Lord stir us each up to say, "Lord, do grant it to me. Thou hast granted it to many. Do grant it to me personally. And full with the blessing of the Lord." Do you think of dear Simeon? The Lord told him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. When they brought in the holy child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, what do we read? "Then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He could lay down and die, couldn't he? Full of the blessing of the Lord. The fullness of our text will be known in heaven. What does the hymn writer say? "Till my full soul can hold no more of everlasting love." Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Izzard next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 667. 667. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. Hymn 667.
Thank you.
dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides in our hearts. Do pardon and forgive anything thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.